With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The Big 12 Experience. Mark Pope to Kentucky and BYU coaching search update on the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using that promo code TCESGPN to get 100% deposit match today. Plus, it's NFL draft season, so get on over there to the old-fashioned football. They're giving away an autograph, NFL merch to celebrate. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/off-contest or OFF contest to enter today. Welcome, everybody, to the Big 12 College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Monday, April 15th. Tomorrow begins the chaos on the gridiron with the transfer portal reopening college football. But we're talking college hoops because, unfortunately, we lost one of our own this weekend. We'll talk about Mark Pope, where the Cougs of BYU go from here. But if you're wondering who you're listening to, I am Moneyline Mac, a.k.a. the former video coordinator for Bob Huggins and Frank Martin. And joining me, well, he's a Coug fan himself. He was by walking contradiction to me, I add. He was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family in Ames, Iowa, and he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. He is Rambling Rush, co-host of the Ryan and Rush Show. Rush, what's up, man?
I may not be the only contradiction anymore. BYU, Provo, Utah, now Lexington, Kentucky, doing his press conferences on the Sabbath day now. Hey, man, it's I think Mark Pope followed my steps, man, out of Provo to a crazy college town, man.
Yeah, I know people are giving him shit for doing his Kentucky chant, especially the Utah U fans. You're right. They're a pain in the ass. Let's get ready for it. Mark Pope goes over to Kentucky. For everybody that doesn't know, he played at Kentucky, so he loves the University of Kentucky. It's all right that he was in his jersey on the BYU court. He didn't play at BYU. He finishes after 5 years at BYU, 110-52. Inaugural year in the Big 12 was a success. They completely overachieved, 23-11, 10-8 in league play. They finished fifth. Overall, like I said, 110-52. He came over from Utah Valley before that, where he finished 77-56. Overall, he's been a consistent winner wherever he has. He has not won a regular season title. I know that's one of the knocks from the people that want to nitpick at this hire, but Rush, just from following Mark Pope over the last 5 years, what are the Kentucky Wildcats, a proud fan base, getting one of their own coming back home?
Well, I think even beyond within the past 5 years, I mean, this isn't a guy that even sat on the bench for Kentucky. I mean, this guy was Rick Pitino's team captain at Kentucky. Like, he is going home, and we were together this past weekend, Ryan, and we kind of saw this news starting to break, and especially after the Scott Drew. We thought we were doing a Scott Drew episode, and then it's kind of funny because we talked this into an existence back in February. We didn't think it'd happen this year, but we both said, get 2 to 3 years, what Mark Pope's doing, well, at the time was doing, did at BYU this first year in the Big 12. He may be the guy to, you know, the sleeper to replace Calipari at Kentucky, and well, instead of 2 to 3 years later, it was 2 to 3 months years later. But this is what we were saying Thursday night when we were together. This is the good guy winning. you know, it always hurts when, you know, there's a guy on your team that you really like that's had success and he goes somewhere else. But you can't get mad at this. You can't get frustrated. No. This is awesome, actually. And for the longest time, you and me both hated Kentucky. Not really the biggest fan of Kentucky. I went there to one game and cheered him on because the old buddy from high school that we had, Ryan, you know, those times happen. But listen, I want him to do well. I'm going to be cheering for Kentucky this year, man. I wish him well. BYU is, we'll talk about them here in a second, but this isn't, you know, people are going to come to find out here real soon at BYU. It's not your traditional, let's go out and find a coach. There's a lot of factors that they have to deal with, but I'm really happy for Mark Pope and I wish him nothing but the best. The press conference was awesome. The atmosphere was awesome. I know there was some hesitancy right off the bat of being like, oh, Mark Pope, I think because a lot of people didn't expect it. And don't get me wrong, it's not like it's a sexy name. But then I think when you gave people to kind of sleep on it a second, kind of do some more digging onto it and realize, oh, wait, actually, this kind of does make a lot of sense. And I think by the announcement that Thursday night, Friday morning announcement to the time he was in Kentucky, I think most Kentucky fans were like, actually, I think this is the right hire. And I think we saw that enthusiasm at the press conference yesterday.
Yeah. Anytime you're able to put 20,000 screaming Big Blue Nation psychos in Rupp Arena on a Sunday at 4:30 Eastern, I think you got the fan base going in. I thought it was cool walking out with this 1996 national championship team.
That was
cool. And like you said, Rush, this isn't like some player that played at Kentucky that was just a role guy. He was the star on maybe in the recent generation, the best team in college basketball history. When you really dig at that 96 Kentucky team, I know people want to overreact and say this UConn team, UConn lost three games in the Big East this year. That Kentucky team ran through the SEC and blew everybody out, and then pretty much blew everybody out in the NCAA tournament. So it kind of puts in perspective how good that Kentucky team was in the 90s, and just bringing home one of their own, the best player, the centerpiece. I'm happy for him. I'm with you, man. I'm pulling for Kentucky in a way now.
I mixed it up. That was the year they beat Syracuse. It was the Tubby Smith year is when they beat Utah.
Tubby won in 98.
Yeah, that's what it was.
97, they lost to Arizona, I think so. And that was Patino's last game. Then he handed the keys to Tubby.
And then Tubby beat Utah. But hey, I'm sure Mark Pope, if you know, it's, you know, he's always, everyone, all those guys want to beat Utah. So, but yeah, man, it's,
you had to get your Utah jab in there.
Of course. Well, we might be getting one of their assistants here coming here soon. Well, yeah, now it's time for the Utah jabs. But dude, this is like, I'm going to say it again. This is the good guy winning. In a time where, you know, and I think too, the Kentucky, while a lot of people were kind of confused about this at first, was, you kind of think about it, right? It's like, does this guy have the personality for Kentucky? Because you think of Calipari, right? Kind of an asshole, right? Patino, you know, rough around the edges. Even Tubby, you know, they have a long history of having kind of those rough guys be their coaches. And, you know, it's no matter what people say, is kind of the most successful people in this world. You kind of have to be an asshole, right? You gotta bend some rules. You gotta get to the top. But it's definitely a different trajectory with kind of this, you know, you think kind of a nice guy Mormon, right? But I think he has that dog in him. I do. I think he has the personality, obviously, with the history at Kentucky. And I think because he can coach the X's and O's in this NIL transfer portal era, you don't have to worry about him as much as a recruiter, because you have now those Kentucky boosters that kind of have to worry about that. Like, you almost can give them the job now, right? Where you could just, I guess, technically overpay for players, if not. As long as Mark Pope can coach it up, then you really have nothing to worry about at Kentucky.
Oh, he proved he could coach this year. I mean, I knew he could coach before he got in the league when he won at Utah Valley, and then he was good in the WCC. But what he did with that roster and BYU in their first year in the Big 12, they were a matchup nightmare for everybody, just the way that they spaced, and it was a new kind of break. It was kind of like Fred Hoiberg when he was at Iowa State, the mayor, just the way they were able to shoot it from all five spots. So like you said, Rush, he's going to get players. He's going to run his space and pace style of play. I always get a tongue twister on that. And there'll be an entertaining brand of basketball to watch. It won't be the NBA one and dones of Kentucky, but let's be honest, Kentucky fans, what the hell's that got you in the last decade? You haven't been in the Final Four since 2015. You haven't been at the first weekend since before COVID. This is going to be a breath of fresh air to the past a little bit, where you won a lot of those national championships. So I'm excited to see Mark Pope era begin in Lexington, Rush.
Well, I mean, it can't get worse than losing in the first round to Oakland and St. Peter's, right? Yeah. I mean, and even if he brings over some of those BYU guys, which we all expect he's going to do, I mean, if BYU was a sixth seed in the really a fifth seed, but because of the Sunday thing, you know, a sixth seed in the tournament, like now he doesn't have to, he doesn't have to worry about the Sunday issues, you know. Now, you know, maybe a couple of those BYU guys can have a little fun if they choose to do that. But it's now it's funny too, because he's not even going from like BYU to say a TCU, where it's like, okay, now you don't have like the Mormon like regulations to worry about. Maybe you can be more successful. He's going from BYU to like the bluest of blue buds. So not only do you have to worry about like the honor code at BYU, you have like a bank account with a blank check that you could just be like, we need this guy. So dude, it's awesome, man. I'm like I said, I'm really happy for him. I'm already calling, you know, our buddy out in Lexington, Clayton, where I'm already been talking to him. I'm going to watch Mark Pope coach in at Rupp Arena, man. I'm gonna go support him. I'm not gonna be a member of Big Bloom Nation, but
I'm gonna be a
supporter of Mark Pope at Kentucky. That's my common ground.
You got to respect their passion, though, just for them to show up 20,000 and go crazy when him and his teammates from the 90s get off a bus. I mean, the Big Blue Nation is a real thing. As much as I can't stand Kentucky, or used to not be able to stand Kentucky, like I said, I'm kind of a closet Kentucky fan with you because of Mark Pope. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch him there. Well, we'll talk. Go ahead.
Well, sorry, I mean, that's because I know we got to get to an ad break, but it's like you see that his announcement at Kentucky, 20,000 strong going nuts. And then you think of our coaching announcements, like, damn, they couldn't even get the audio equipment right.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. We still beat their ass in the 2010 Elite Eight. Yeah, remind them about that.
There you
biggest go. Biggest game in the matters. History between the two programs. That was year one of Calipari with John Wall, Cousins. That may have been their best team, to be honest. I know 2015 was undefeated, but that 2010 team was pretty good when you think of all the number one draft.
They were unbelievable. That was a great game.
That was awesome. That was the 23, 24-year-old men against the 18 and 19-year-old one and done. It kind of was like, in a way, what's bothered Kentucky over the last couple of years of just losing to these old teams with the new portal. So, shout out to Jack Clarkson here, loyal college basketball fan, as well as Drunken Irishman. What up, boys? What is up, my friend? And old-fashioned football. Hey.
What's up, J-Mark?
J-Mark. Speaking of old-fashioned football, you got to hit an ad because you got to get over there to freaking old-fashioned football with J-Mark and his wife. His wife is a lot more intelligent than he is, let me tell you firsthand. The NFL draft is just around the corner, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed merch to celebrate JSN, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, Frank Gore, and many more. Old-fashioned football, come for the football and stay for the whiskey. That is what I'm talking about. So get on over there, thesportsgamblingpodcast.com/off-contest. That is OFF contest over at the old-fashioned football. And we're also brought to you by, the one and only Underdog Fantasy. Play alongside your favorite players all season long and your favorite members as well. Underdog's been great to us. Promo code TCESGPN. And you know what they'll do? They'll match your deposit up to 100%, up to $100. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700. Or visit ncpgambling.org. And sorry, everybody, I do not have an over-under to give out in college basketball. Let's see if they got some NBA up for tomorrow. You know, we got the playing games going on. You know, I'm a TMZ NBA fan myself. I like to bet on the rigged playoffs, the rigged association. I like somebody said the National Blowout Association, because every NBA game yesterday was 15 or more points. I mean, can we get some competitive games? Although I can't talk too much shit because fucking March Madness ended up being the National Blowout Invitational as well with UConn and Purdue, and even when they played. But looking on over to tomorrow, I love to fade LeBron, so let's go. LeBron James, I don't know if the Lakers want to win this game because they play the Nuggets if they win. They may go through the motions so they can get the 8 seed, play the Thunder. I'll go lower, 26.5 points for LeBron James. Always a Michael Jordan fan. And Zion and company, so they just played yesterday. It was shitty. Give me higher on Zion, 5.5 assists. Stack those two on top of each other at over at Underdog Fantasy. And make sure you use that promo code TCESGPN. All righty, we are back on the Big 12 College Experience. Wouldn't be a college experience episode if we didn't throw a couple jabs at the NBA, the National Load Management Association. All right, let's talk some Cougs. This is the Big 12 experience. We talked enough about fucking Kentucky in the NBA. Let's talk about what really matters. BYU has a coach, or they're searching for a coach, if you didn't know. Mark Pope takes a Kentucky job like we just talked about. There is a breaking rumor that potentially Barrett Perry could be the guy. He's a UNLV assistant. He also was the head coach at Portland and was at Texas Tech. The other name that I think Rush is going to talk about is Chris Burgess over at Utah. Another couple names that have been rumored, Alex Jensen, the Dallas Maverick assistant, Kevin Young, Phoenix Suns. Quincy Lewis is a former BYU Cougar. He's a high school guy. And then you got the current staff member, the promote within route, Cody Fugger. Sorry if I'm butchering your name. But Rush, your thoughts on the search here. I know we talked before this, and we both thought Burgess would be the guy. This one literally kind of just broke that the rumor is Peary could be the guy. But I don't know. What's your thoughts? What are you looking for? What's the fan base looking for, et cetera?
So with those two, right off the bat, I remember us talking Thursday night. Those two stuck out the most to me. The Cal coach is definitely out. What was that, Madsen?
Yeah,
the problem is, I think his payout's too high. BYU's not going to pay for that. And here's the issue, because you've brought this up, Ryan, and it's a great point. It's the problem with BYU now is you brought up those guys, and it's going to come down to Perry or Burgess. For example, Quincy Lewis, you brought up. That's if BYU was still in the Mountain West or like an independent or WCC, I guess their basketball was an independent, maybe that guy would have more of a consideration, you know. But the thing is, they're in the Big 12 now. You can't be getting the coach out at Lehigh to now coach the BYU team. That's kind of an old move that they would do. I think they actually did that with Ty Detmer for their football team, where they brought him on as an assistant. He was coaching at a high school and actually didn't even work out too well. But you have to, and I thought it was going to be Burgess. I think Burgess, in my opinion, the now Utah assistant, was a former BYU assistant, knows Utah very well. Apparently would be very good at recruiting around Utah and getting all those guys who, I mean, that's basically what BYU does, is they have to get the Utah guys. They have to, like, just with the culture and more. But the thing is, Perry is like, he has that head coaching experience, and now you play in the Big 12. So I really believe if it was a WCC, Burgess would be like the slam dunk, like home run, like they would absolutely. But now they're like, oof, we may need a guy with experience that's in the Big 12 and willing to make adjustments. And we don't have that 2-3 years to kind of let Burgess work it out and get his feet under him and go, like, you said it right. Like, you're in win now mode. That's the thing about joining a power conference. Like, great, welcome to the power conference, more money, get your name out there more, and that you're on a bigger stage, but you got to stay relevant. And you already have, you know, BYU being a Mormon school and the honor code and that stuff working against you. Maybe NIL helps them out a little more, because there is a lot of money in Utah. There is. Mormons are very wealthy people, but it's hard, because they're going to want a Mormon coach to be in there, but it's that rock and a hard place. So I don't know what you think. I personally think Burgess has the higher ceiling. And while that's more of a high risk, high reward move, that's who I would choose. But I think the Perry guy is the UNLV assistant was probably going to be the one to get it just because of his head coaching experience.
Boy, and he played at Southern Utah. It's overcomplicated because of the whole Mormon element. And I know that's BYU and that's the culture. But like you said, man, we thought they would struggle in year one in the Big 12, and they did prove us wrong. I think what we underestimated about them was the group and tact that Mark Pope had built up over the last couple of years. They kind of took their lumps a little bit in the last couple of years of WCC. They were older this year. I feel like, man, with the rebuild, it's hard to rebuild it in this era of college basketball. I mean, they're going to get killed in the portal, which we talked about. But you look at their team this year. Obviously, everything ran through Khalifa, the big fella. And then they had Spencer Johnson, Jackson Robinson. They both were seniors as well. Dylan Hall, he was a sophomore. Nell, he was a junior. So you're talking about it was older guys. And then my man off the bench, I never can pronounce his name.
Traore,
yeah, who absolutely killed us. He's not very athletic, but I'm telling you, everybody takes him for granted, and he dominates with angles around.
He has really good post moves angles. He's really good at that. He gets
so much done for a 6'6" post guy. And
long.
I feel like if they go with a coach with Peary, or they go the other route as well with Burgess, I just feel like it's going to be more of a rebuild rather than a reload if they bring somebody locally, not locally, nationally. But you mentioned it, they want a type of coach that will embrace what BYU is at the same time, if that makes sense.
Beyond embracing it, they want him to live like the Mormon church. Own BYU, like it's an extension of the LDS church. You're kind of limited right now, and maybe we just kind of put something together for a year or two till we can get someone that we like even more back. I don't know, it's tough. But the thing about it too is now that Mark Pope's in Kentucky, like I don't think you can also make the assumption that all of the BYU, he's going to take some of them, and they were a good team, and they should, I mean, some of those guys can definitely start for Kentucky and play for Kentucky, but a couple of them too. Don't forget, like, these are guys that get married young and have families. Like, they may want to stay part of that, you know, in the culture. Like, they may, like, Mark Pope's going to be like, hey, like, yeah, I can only bring two or three of you. The rest, you know, we're going to go out and kind of buy some better guys. Like, I guess that is one advantage maybe to being at Kentucky, but, you know, they could still at the transfer portal and go to some other local schools if they wanted to, even though if they don't go to Kentucky. I did see, it looked like Dallin Hall wasn't even considering Kentucky in the transfer portal. So it's a very weird situation and very difficult to navigate. Like, it's something that, and this NIL and transfer portal only add I think in this situation actually can help them if they want to spend money, if they have some boosters that are willing to spend some money. But it's definitely one of those situations that, like, I know you've been close to me, Ryan, growing up, so you've like seen me talk about it and stuff. But like, if you don't really know like BYU and kind of the Mormon aspect of it and how they intertwine, this is a very kind of complex issue that needs to be resolved in the matter of a couple of days. that's the best way to say it.
I also, Raj, I feel like this core that we talked about that was older and potentially had another year with Pope, I felt like it was their best core since Jimmer. I really did. Jimmer, yeah. Brandon Davies. I know they were solid in the WCC, but I felt like, I don't know. I like this group the more and more I watch them, except for that Jimmer team. That Jimmer team was really good. They were national championship.
That's the last BYU team to win a tournament game. Well, no, the year after they had that first four.
If Davies, if they didn't suspend Davies for having a little too much fun, they have a little muddle on his turtle, but that's part of going to BYU, unfortunately. But I think the reality for BYU fans, I'm not saying they're gonna win seven games like unfortunately we had to go through with the coaching search this year. But I think they're going to take their lumps this next year and then maybe another year. And then you got to build your next group of guys that'll grow with the new coach. And unfortunately you play in the Big 12 and now it's, you don't really get the breaks. You don't get to go to Portland State. But I hope that they get this hire right. That's the main thing. Cause I do like having BYU be good and another really good Big 12 team. And I loved what Mark Pope did in year number one.
The thing is too, is what you saw, like for example, with Dave Rose, is like, you definitely need a guy at BYU. It's actually kind of similar to Bob Huggins at West Virginia, where, you know, like both sides need each other. Like No side is going to lead, like you're the best of each other. And that's kind of what BYU needs and what they may be looking for. And they may be willing to take it on the maybe they do decide to go like a Chris Burgess and take it on the chin for a couple years till he gets his feet under him. And then they sort it out. I will say maybe the good thing about where we're going with the Big 12, I know we're obviously adding Arizona and you got Kent. I mean, it's the Big 12. We're all aware of that. But because now you can't play a true round robin anymore and you got, you know, Colorado in there, Arizona State, Utah, you know, they're out west, so they'll probably play those guys more. You know, those will probably be the teams they play twice. So I think that does help them a little bit too.
I agree. It just sucks because they had some momentum after this year. It was a really exciting year number one for BYU, and I think even the hardcore of BYU fans will admit that they overachieved this year. If you had told anybody that BYU was going to finish fifth in the best league in America, I know it sucks how it ended against Duquesne, but like this was an A++ year for BYU, especially with the way they started league play and they really found their identity into February, into March.
And that's why Mark Pope's at Kentucky, man. That's literally, that's they did true. Too good. Very they're true. Probably wishing, you know what?
You're calling a spade a spade.
And it's, they're probably like, you know what? Maybe this last year should have been a rebuilding year.
You look at the roster, like I just talked about how good they're, that like I like the group and I like the way, but I like the way they don't have the best individuals in the league, but the way that they bought into what Pope was coaching systematically, their spacing, and they knew each other. You could tell that they had played with each other 2-3 years. And I felt like next year could have been an even special year, but you can't pass up Kentucky when that's your alma mater. So
absolutely,
it'll be interesting what happens with the Cougs at BYU. Real quick, Rush, let's talk a little bit of transfer portal because unfortunately it never stops. Kansas still leads kind of the way in the Big 12. They brought over Kugel and Mayo from Florida and South Dakota State. Iowa State's been kind of the next team in the Big 12 that's made a little bit of a splash with DeSean Jackson. Heights come over from Northern Iowa, and then they brought over Chatfield from the Roadrunners. The UCF, very, very shiny Knights in year number two coming in. They've quietly done a good job. Benny Williams is coming over from Syracuse. Mikey Williams from Memphis. West Virginia technically is next, according to the rankings, because they have the 2-time Missouri Valley Player of the Year. The coach's son, Tucker DeVries, coming over. So that always helps. TCU dug in with UCF. They brought up CJ Walker and then Frankie Collins. So they brought in two Big 12 to Big 12 transfers. We really need to get rid of this Big 12 within the Big 12 transferring. Jerome Tang has his next little man on campus. Doug McDaniel coming over from Michigan and CJ Jones also coming over from Illinois, Chicago. The Houston Cougars, well, they haven't really had to do much because they brought back their whole team minus Jamal Shedd, who will forego his year, but they dug in with the Oklahoma Sooners. Milos Uzon, he will replace Jamal Shedd. So Houston's pretty much filled out their roster. They're still my preseason number one in the country as of right now. Well, because they have a roster and most teams don't. Utah, they've kind of been a little bit quiet, but solid pieces. Mason Madsen coming over from Boston College and Keno Dawes over from Rice. Baylor has not brought in anybody via the portal. Same with Colorado, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Cincinnati, Arizona has lost everybody in the portal. Arizona State as well. And then, of course, BYU is getting destroyed in the portal with Saunders, Khalifa, and Hall leaving after the Mark Pope. I would assume we'll probably have more rush. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be kind of like the point I made up earlier is I do think guys will follow him to, yeah, of course, some guys will follow him over to Kentucky, but I don't think it's going to be like, you know, sometimes you see these coaches go to one school and it's like almost their whole team just goes over there with him. I think we're talking a couple here because I think he also knows I'm also going to Kentucky where there's a lot of money here. So why not even get better players too? So yeah, I think there'll be a little of each. I think a lot of also, you know, they may enter the transfer portal just to go somewhere else since Mark Pope's not coaching there either. My guess is you'll have three people from BYU go to Kentucky.
I think you're right. And BYU fans, don't take this the wrong way. I have no way judging religion. But these kids may not want to live the BYU lifestyle when they could go make more cash and maybe live the college experience too. So
I will say the benefit that they have, though, is like say I'm just going to – like say there's a basketball player, right, that's kind of bounced around. He's sure. Really good but needs to – like actually it, what's his name? Their quarterback from last year. That's the from Pitt.
Oh, Slovis.
I know that's the football side of things, but like, you know what? Like I said, there's money out there. If they're like, you know what? BYU is actually a great opportunity for me. I'll do the Mormon lifestyle for 1 year. I'll make all this additional cash. They're not going to go for 3 or 4 years, but you might be able to get guys to go for a year if you can pay them that extra money, maybe two. Those cases do exist out there where, you know, they're trying to make their name better. You know, hey, I end up going to BYU. I got my act together. I went to BYU. I'm ready for the NBA or I'm ready for professional basketball overseas. Like, so... But yeah, most, you know, unless you've lived the lifestyle growing up, most people aren't going to go there unless you gave them so much money where they couldn't say no.
Agree. And BYU fans, I know you guys are batshit crazy and you guys are as loyal as they come. That doesn't mean we are bashing or it doesn't mean I'm bashing BYU. Rush actually has lived, his whole family has gone to BYU Peyton just graduated a little bit ago from BYU.
Yeah.
And then obviously your dad as well. That doesn't mean we hate BYU. We love BYU. We're just bringing the other side of things, the other perspective.
It's just the reality of it.
So, all right, man. Little quick couple quick hitters. Talk Mark Pope, talk BYU, talk a little portal. We'll be back later in the week, unfortunately. The other portal's going to open tomorrow, and I got a bad feeling this thing's going to be ugly because there's guys rumored that signed with somebody in fucking January and February that want to get right back in the portal to find a new football home with the depth chart. I hope, honestly, part of me hopes this is really, really ugly where we got to do something about it in a way where it gets so bad where it's like, this is, we have to have a real conversation, but it'll be interesting. I heard somebody say that the other day and I said, you know what? Maybe it needs to be really ugly.
Burn it down.
I do worry about the Big 12 getting completely poached by the SEC and by the Big 10, which will create a trickle down where they'll just ambush the AAC or the ACC. It's just, the whole thing could be bad. I mean, you got coaches already saying, this is what we're going to need in this next wave of portal. Wide receiver, defensive tackle that's 300 pounds that can bench press the house. Well, I think we all would like a defensive tackle that could bench press the house and take on double teams and create chaos. But not everybody has, $500,000 or $2 million to go pay for one. Clark does make a good point. Basketball is quickly approaching that. There's, I think, 1,700, 1,800 names in the portal. It is ridiculous. But at least they don't have, like, two different portal windows. That's the only thing I would say basketball has better than football right now is they at least do it all at the beginning, and you don't see – there's still some crazy ones, like the kid that just decommitted from BYU that was his fourth school in his freshman year. So he still hasn't played a game, but he's been to three or four schools now. But it is what it is. It's not going anywhere. I guess it means good content. So we'll talk about it later in the week. Rush, anything before we get out of here with in regards to the BYU Cougs?
No, just hope they find the right guy, because it is a challenging,
it's a big hire.
Task for them is finding, you know, staff for these high important, you know, important sports jobs, and, you know, keeping them, especially now. So hopefully they find it. I want them to stay competitive next year too, and we'll see where it goes.
No doubt. Go Cougs. We'll be back, or I'll be back later, 10 o'clock Eastern, talking the rest of the country, more Mark Pope, more transfer portal. Shit, we may have a BYU hire by then. You guys can find us at the Ryan and Rush Show as well, where we'll be breaking down hopefully some new news on the West Virginia side of things. It's had a couple visits in this weekend. But, yeah, go check out that channel if you want the Mountaineer coverage. Colby, check him out at the College Football Experience. Noah Beanick doing the Lord's work over at the College Baseball Experience. Subscribe, hit that like button. I'm at Moneyline_Mac. He is at Rambling Rush. We are the Big 12 College Experience, and we are out of here.